This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Baby, let me be your love and take me back. Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Let me be,
oh, let him be
your teddy bear. I don't want to be a tiger, cause tigers play too rough. I don't want to be a lion, cause lions ain't the kind you love enough.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Elvis for you.
Your teddy bear.
Remember Teddy Bear? What is that, about 1960, maybe, 59? Good morning, and welcome to the Teddy Bear of Radio, Paul Molloy. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, actually. I am the Teddy Bear, along with my buddy, a bigger Teddy Bear, Big Ed Davis. We thank you very much for joining us. It is Friday already, October the 23rd. Did you watch all of that debate last night? We will be talking about that a little bit later in the show. First off, we're going to be talking in a few minutes with Michael Farron of the Mercatus Center, and we're going to talk about how state subsidies, money to states, repeatedly fail the taxpayers. And all you have to do is look at a few of the states like Illinois and California to agree with it. But we're going to talk with Michael about all of that. So don't go away, as they say. And how'd they do last night? Trump and Biden, that is, in the final debate. Did Trump, did he tone down his interruptions, do you think? Did Biden have a senior moment or two during the discussion? Who won the thing? Who won the thing? We're going to get some perspective on all of this from our proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Cerasi. So stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. Meantime, you know there are other things going on besides this race, this presidential race. Mainland China threatens retaliation. Retaliation. If America sells weapons to Taiwan. Now remember, we've been guarding Taiwan forever, pretty much since the end of World War II. So exactly what does retaliation mean? We're going to talk about that. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, we have come up with, and in a very detailed way, the top 10 most hated states in America, most hated. And you are going to be shocked, believe me. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, the best haircut place in Tampa Bay for my money, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. But you got to call for your hair appointment. You know the rules, 727-733-3773. In the meantime, do not forget that you gotta tune in before my show. I know you love listening to me, but you gotta listen to Good Morning Clearwater Monday through Friday. They're on from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on the Great Tan Talk Radio. Paul and Tracy Allen, they start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment. They talk sports. By the way, they also can create beautiful posters. Did you know that? Posters and flyers and banners. For either yourself, your business, whatever. Just like they've done for me, by the way. So don't forget, Good Morning Clearwater. All right, well, we got a lot of things going on. So, Ed, did you watch any of that debate last night? I know there was a football game on. I can't remember if the game ended before or after or whatever. I don't think it was a big deal, football game. Go
dear
ahead.
God, no.
You didn't watch the debate, or you didn't watch the football?
No, it was the Eagles and Giants.
Oh, that's a biggie.
Nobody cared.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody cared.
Oh. No, I watched all the debates. I actually took notes. Yeah.
You took notes, really?
Well, every time.
Did you?
It was 44 minutes in before Joe started to fumble. And I'm glad that President Trump got my memo about, because the theme was, let Joe go. Let him go.
I like
don't
that.
Interrupt him. And then you'll see after he'll wear down. And he did. He started. He said one of the things he said was he called President Trump's the Proud Boys. He called them the Poor Boys.
The Poor Boys, man.
The Poor Boys. That's
we're
a rest,
proud and poor.
That's a restaurant, by the way.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
And he said He looked at Trump and he said he thinks he's going up against Joe Biden, but he's going up against Joe Biden.
Well, there's two Joe Bidens, apparently, and he's going up against Joe Biden.
He didn't realize that he didn't say Obama.
Yeah.
So he messed that up.
He messed that up a little.
And then the
These are minor. Go ahead.
Then the fracking incident. You know, that he never said he was going to cut fracking when he clearly did. That was one of the biggest lies. But I think, I don't know, did you see what happened before the debate began with the guy coming out with the three cell phones with Hunter Biden texting about his dad knowing about the money incident?
Yes, and Mr. Boogaloo or Mr. Yeah, Bobolinker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't see him, but I knew about it. And he was in the audience. Donald Trump introduced him. I didn't introduce him, but I asked him to be in the audience. Yeah.
Right.
So I didn't see him, though. I did.
I saw the whole, he came out and said he had three cell phones, and he said these are the cell phones that have the texting back and forth between Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, saying, don't call, don't say his name, Joe Biden, he doesn't want it out there like that.
Right.
Don't mention it like that. And there was some code names and stuff like that.
So everybody was waiting. Maybe you timed it here for the first mention of Hunter Biden.
Right.
It didn't come early, and Trump was good enough to kind of hold his fire on it. He was waiting.
Right. He kind of segued into it.
They did segue.
Yeah, and then
it was not technically brought up by the moderator.
No, the moderator said, "Speaking of that," and he quickly wanted to get that.
I'm thinking the moderator had in like a parenthetical spot here. Mm-hmm. Okay, if it's brought up, I'll go over here for a moment.
Right, we'll just brush up against it real quick and then go to something else.
Yes.
But at least it's out there. So,
did you make note of the number of times that the moderator, the woman, interrupted Trump?
Yeah, I didn't, but I saw the final count was like 111, something like that.
It was, there was a great deal. That was one thing. I noticed that right away. And then she'd say, okay, I'll give you 10 seconds after allowing Biden to go on and on about something.
Right.
Okay, now I'll get 10 seconds. He can barely clear his throat in 10 seconds.
Right.
But you didn't interrupt Biden as much, I didn't think.
I thought it was sort of fair.
Okay.
The questions were sort of.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen more than just the same old thing, the COVID, and the global warming was a joke. Because all it was, what came down to, is global warming means that's why we have fires in the West and that's why we have hurricanes, which is ridiculous. I mean, we have fires in the West. There's always been fires in the West. And what he's saying is because Trump has ignored global warming for the last 3 years, we have all these fires, and now we have all these hurricanes. So mm-hmm. That's all on him.
Yeah,
this
even
ridiculous.
Even Trump complimented the moderator at a moment.
He said, you're doing a very nice job, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, you do a pretty good Trump once in a while. Mm. So, but he was kind of buttering her up, was he not,
for the rest
of the show?
I think he was appreciative, and I did. I think what they used the mute button when the other side was asked a question, the mute button was on, and then they released it because there was a couple of times Biden spoke and his mic wasn't on, and it was a couple of times Trump spoke and it was,
correct.
But it was not. I told you to shut up, dink, mute.
Right.
It was not none of that.
Overall, then, based on everything that you saw, do you think either one of them was clearly the winner of this thing?
I don't. To me, the end game, the clear winner would have been the one that sways the independent ones, the ones who are not sure who they're voting for. And I'm not sure either side
was
did enough for
that.
Yeah. And this whole thing with the Hunter Biden thing coming out in the next week, 10 or 11 days, could be very damning to Joe Biden. Very, because it will show that if you put that man in the White House, it will be business as usual in government again. Everything we work forward to get rid of the people that have been sucking money out of that system, will just go right back in again.
All right, my friend, we're going to take our break and we're going to actually divert our attention to state things like subsidies that repeatedly fail the taxpayer.
Been a missing old boy, when you're with me, old boy. that you were meant for me. All of my life I've been waiting. Tonight there'll be no hesitating, oh boy.
Oh boy.
When you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy.
The world.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about,
hi, this
right?
Is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday. Thank you so much for joining us here on Freedom Works, and we are delighted to have Michael Farron join us. He is a research fellow at the Mercatus Center, and we're going to talk about a study, an analysis that he did, he and three other of his colleagues, on state subsidies and how they repeatedly fail the taxpayer. Michael, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks, Paul.
Delighted to have you, and I guess we're going to talk a little bit about a particular project, Michael, in Wisconsin. It was a company, I guess, called Foxconn, and President Trump had promised Wisconsinites that, hey, we're going to get about 13,000 new jobs out of this. So what happened?
So what happened is that the factory seems to be a facade. The state, federal government and local governments promised about $5 billion worth of subsidies to encourage about $10 billion worth of investments in the creation of 13,000 jobs.
Are you talking billion with a B or million with an M?
I am unfortunately talking billion with a B.
Okay.
The state alone promised $3.6 billion. And when you add up the state, federal, and local utility subsidies, the total is $5
billion. Wow.
So they promised $5 billion for an enormous plant, the kind which has not been built in the United States so far. Most of these plants are located overseas. And the entire thing, the news coming out from some very good investigative reporting suggests that the entire thing was a facade to begin with. Foxconn was just trying to court political influence, and actually the location of where they put it, in a battleground state and in the districts of the Wisconsin House Assembly Speaker and the Speaker of the U.S. House at that, when they first announced it, was simply an attempt to gain as much political leverage as possible.
We call it corruption.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I study cronyism, so I call it cronyism, but both things mean the same thing.
Yes. So President Trump says they're going to get 13,000 jobs. Now, I know Donald Trump will exaggerate things. How many jobs so far, do you think?
Well, so far, Wisconsin is said that they have created about 288 jobs.
288?
288. They needed to create many more in order to be eligible for subsidies this year, and it's supposed to be ramping up very quickly in order to qualify for the additional subsidies. So essentially, Wisconsin created performance-based subsidies, where once you hire so many people or invest so much money, we'll give you this much in subsidies. But thankfully, Wisconsin is probably not going to be on the hook for paying about $3 billion of those kinds of subsidies.
Okay.
But they are on the hook for the money that they've already put into all of the infrastructure that they have built for a plant that doesn't seem to be coming ever. And I estimate that's probably about $1 billion just down the drain.
Wow. Now, you say counterintuitively or whatever that this is actually going to turn out to be a good thing. Now, how will that be a good thing?
Well, the only way that this is a good thing, and I realize this is a little bit of a stretch, but we have wasted about $1 billion on a project that shouldn't have been subsidized to begin with. And that's better than wasting $5 billion on it. So if we figure out that we shouldn't be putting any more money toward it, don't throw good money after bad, only wasting $1 billion is better than wasting $5 billion.
Okay, so this thing is just going to sort of sink in the quicksand. Is that what's going to happen to the Foxconn Center or whatever it is?
That's actually probably a pretty accurate description, because some of the areas that the factory was going to go into were wetlands and received regulatory variances so that they could actually put the factory there.
My goodness. Now, by the way, we're talking with Michael Farron. He is a research fellow at the Mercatus Center. We're talking why state subsidies are not good ideas. They repeatedly kind of screw the taxpayers. And they're using this situation that occurred in Wisconsin with the building of I guess it was an $11 billion thing initially, I guess in Southeast. Where was it near? Was it near Milwaukee or Madison or where?
In between Milwaukee and Chicago, just north of the border.
Okay, got it. But if we step back, Michael, and we look at this whole thing now, states want to lure businesses to, you know, obviously for the down the road for hiring, you know, for purposes of hiring their residents, and also for drawing, you know, tax money from them, you know, down the road. But I think about like sports stadiums and all kinds of things where all kinds of promises are made, you know, and it never works. It doesn't seem to ever work. It never generates the money that they're talking about. They're blue-skying it to death. You would think the taxpayers would catch on. And then you talk about how, you know, they want to put in certain districts of politicians. So there's corruption as well. The whole thing stinks. Stinks. I mean, can we get along without having subsidies from taxpayers for these things?
We could absolutely do that. And one of the reasons why is because in about 90% of the cases, subsidies don't actually sway where a company decides to locate or expand. That's based on academic research, some of the best academic research over the last 30 years. And at the end of the day is that about 90% of subsidies don't work at what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So in those cases, it's like paying for a free sample. You're just literally wasting your money. And the 10% of the cases or so that where the subsidies might actually work, where they're large enough to sway a decision, what they're doing is they're motivating the company to locate in a non-optimal place. It's like paying someone to live in a suburb farther out of town. It might be good for that person's household that they may experience a gain, but for every other taxpayer, it doesn't work out because they have to cover the cost of it, and then that person has to spend more money and more time driving farther into work each day. So it wastes economic resources.
Right.
So even when subsidies work at swaying where a company decides to locate, they don't actually create broad economic development.
There was this thing with Amazon. Remember, they were kind of saying, we're going to go somewhere. So all of you states and cities, why don't you start dangling some sort of, you know, invitation to us, to tempt us and all that kind of thing. And this is, you know, because if we come in, we're going to show you all kinds of jobs and this and that. And then, you know, all of this stuff gets going, and all these different places, it's like a bidding war, sort of.
Oh, no, that's exactly what it is. We also produced the research paper on the Amazon HQ2 debacle, and that really does illustrate exactly how subsidies in most cases don't work, because Montgomery County, Maryland, offered $8.5 billion for Amazon HQ2, or actually it was over $8.5 billion, because we still don't know some of the subsidies that they offered for Amazon to locate essentially northeast of Washington, D.C. And Amazon ended up selecting Arlington County, Virginia, which is on the west side of D.C. So in the same metro area, Virginia only offered about $1.1 billion in subsidies. And so you have a situation where almost eight times the amount of subsidies wasn't enough to sway Amazon to locate just across the other side of the same city. And I really look at that bidding war, as you described it, for Amazon HQ2 as the bridge to nowhere moment for economic development subsidies.
Right.
It is the point. It is the thing that woke everyone up. And now there's a lot of groups from a lot of different areas and all walks of the political spectrum that are trying to band together to say, we need to stop competing. States need to stop competing this way and wasting money. And 14 states have actually introduced legislation to create an interstate compact to end this subsidy arms race between the states.
Yeah, but and that was going to actually be my next question. How do you stop it? I mean, you can band together, you know, with different states saying, look, we're not going to do this anymore. But you know that if some large company or baseball team or whatever, you know, and they feel that, boy, this would really help if I could get this thing in here, you know they're going to start backdooring something. I mean, can you really stop any of this? And is, I mean, constitutionally, can you even, you know, can you legally enforce it?
Absolutely, you can. So constitutionally,
can't.
You absolutely can. So I have a paper with John Mozena of the I'm forgetting the acronym of his organization right now.
That's all right.
But he and I have a federal paper from this last spring saying that essentially what economic development subsidies are doing is trying to. They are economic competition. They're trying to influence trade between the states. And that is something they're trying to influence interstate commerce, in other words. And that is something that the states gave power to the federal government over. So Congress could absolutely say to the states, this is illegal, and they could stop it tomorrow if they wanted.
Really?
But, yes. But, obviously, Congress has a lot of other things on its mind, and it may not get around to solving this problem for the states. But so an interstate compact is a way for the states to actually go ahead and solve it themselves. And it's part of the original Constitution. It's a treaty or a contract between the states, and you can absolutely build the right teeth and clauses into the contract for it to be effective.
Okay. Now, what states have done that?
So the legislation has passed the Utah House so far. Illinois has considered it. I testified on the legislation in Illinois last year. Vermont, New Hampshire are interested. Connecticut seems to be like it's going to move forward with it this year, and it has the support of some people high up in the legislature there. So it's a building idea. There were five states that proposed the legislation in 2019, that grew to 14 just last year. And so it seems to really be gathering momentum.
Wow. Wow. Well, let's keep our eye on it. Michael, I want to thank you so very much for bringing this up. Very interesting discussion. I look forward to talking
thank
with you again.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Absolutely. Thank you. Michael Farron of the Mercatus Center. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, so how did they do really last night? Can we be objective about this debate? We're going to talk with what I think is a very objective man, Andrew Sorace, the master barber.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. the best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tan Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. You know, the moderator, everybody knew that she was, I don't want to say in the tank for Biden, but she was, she's a Democrat. She's a news commentator, but she's contributed to the Democratic Party. She did indeed interrupt Trump many more times, I thought. Although most people are giving her decent marks, so we've got the world's most unbiased man. His name is Andrew the Master Barber, and he's going to tell us truthfully, after a conscientious thought processed system, who won last night's debate. Andrew, who won last night's debate?
Well, Paul, Trump was on target the whole time, man. He got in everything that he needed to talk about, even though the topics weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
the topics they picked were crazy. But he was on cue with everything. He got everything he wanted to get in there. I mean, he sat there right there and asked Biden, well, you got all this money from Russia, from China. We need to know about it. He mm-hmm. put him on the spot.
So he actually brought that, we call it the Hunter Biden story, up. Rather than the moderator, correct?
Yeah. Now, you got to realize, did you see the one business partner of his on there talking about what Hunter was doing?
Yes.
With his father and with him? Did you happen to catch that?
As I told Ed, I don't think I saw the guy, although now that I remember it, he did have a little press stand-up, a little microphone conference, and he did talk about it. And you know what? He's a Democrat. He's a Navy man. It's going to be hard to go after this guy. And it sounds to me like he's very honest about it.
Said he wanted to keep his name clean. I think we're going to hear a little bit more about this. The mainstream media is going to try and keep it quiet, but if people are really listening to what's going on.
You know, I got the quote from Biden when he was confronted basically by Trump on the Hunter Biden thing. Trump says to Biden, I think you owe an explanation to the American people. So here's what Biden said, quote, I have not taken a penny from any foreign source ever in my life, unquote. Well, we know that's not true. Now, he's using the word foreign source. You have to be careful with words. It may not be like a government agency that directly paid him, or you can say, you know what, I actually didn't take it from them because, see, I got it from my son.
That's
it was
right.
A handoff. It was a handoff. You see, I never took it. I never took it from a foreign source. I told him to just send me a check in the mail, but don't tell me where it came from. Go ahead.
You know, Paul, I'm wondering what's going to happen when this starts coming out. I'm wondering if Biden might even drop out.
Well, another scenario. Let's just say somehow he wins the presidency. They put him in the White House, and then the Democrats themselves wanting to take him out and put Kamala in there. Figure out a way to get him kicked out.
That's it. And, you know, that's what they're shooting for. Kamala didn't win the primary, but they wanted her in there, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they picked her.
Now,
and, you know, she's full radical left.
Mm-hmm. So you remember I called Donald Trump President Interrupto the first debate a little bit. So how do you think he did with his demeanor this time?
I think he was excellent, Paul. As they would say, presidential.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he did a great job. I think he hit it out of the park. You know, Biden just keeps going back to COVID and the American family. And, you know, oh, I'm for fracking. I'm for fracking. We can do that. And Trump says, well, we'll play the tape for you.
Right, he did. So
I mean, the guy was lying left and right.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with the Master Barber, Andrew the Master Barber, and his world-famous barber pole. And he's taken a reading of how the debate went. So did Joe Biden have a senior moment during the debate?
He had a bunch of them. His eyes were fluttering and he was stuttering, you know.
You know,
he had a couple seconds. Mm-hmm. Whatever they had, it might have worked pretty good for him, though.
You know, he had, you mean the medication? Is that what you mean?
That's right.
Okay. You know, he did have a stuttering issue of growing up. Joe Biden, seriously, yes. And
okay,
I think he does. It sounds to me like he's overcome it. And sometimes I think we might perceive the what we call senior moment to be actually just a stutter. Go ahead. I would just want to.
I still say that I think Trump's going to landslide it, Paul. Biden just don't have what it takes to be the president. Trump showed his colors last night. He was on target. He said what he wants to do. His facts were all straight. And, you know, the sad part is it's a shame that they had all this early voting, but this is what the Democrats anticipated. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to get the early voting in. This way people couldn't change their minds.
You know, interesting you bring that up, because I was going to talk about more than 45 million total ballots have been cast as of yesterday morning. 45 million. Go ahead.
And they say, well, there's so many Democrats, and now I guess the Republicans are out doing the early voting, according to what the polls say. But before, when they were saying, well, the Democrats got 300,000+, the Democrats could have all they want in. Who's saying that the Democrats are all voting for Biden?
You know, it's funny, though. I mean, is it because of the virus? Is it because of the excitement of and the interest in this that so many have gone?
Well, I think the people are just afraid of this country falling apart. It isn't the virus. They're afraid of this probably going to a third world country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this election is so important. I think people are realizing it.
So, Andrew, if Trump wins, do you think we're going to have all kinds of violence across the country?
Well, you know, Paul, it's like I told you before, when Barack Obama talked to the Russian ambassador and he said, listen, when I get reelected, things could be different. But when Trump gets reelected, I believe things will be different if this crap starts.
Oh, boy. That's kind of scary.
Well, you know, Paul, what's going to have to be done is going to have to be done. If these people want to start this, they can't accept the election because they're already threatening. They got their armies all over the place ready to go and destroy and take a coup on Washington. And, you know, they don't know what they're trying to start. If they do, it'll end really quick.
Yeah. When you say it'll end really quick, because to their advantage or to their disadvantage?
I would say it's at our advantage. I mean, Number one, you know Trump will bring in the National Guard and he won't care what the governors are saying because he's reelected.
You're right.
So he'll take care of that business. And you know what? If they don't, the people will.
What else is this thing? Biden was ready for the Hunter Biden issue, right? He was ready. And he was going to try to turn the tables on Trump. I believe he talked about this bank account, this Chinese bank account. And I was thinking, wait a second. He does business and builds all over the world. Of course he's going to have a Chinese bank account. And he may even have a Russian bank account if he's doing any business there, or an African, you know. So I'm thinking they're just throwing that out there as if it's illegal. It's not illegal.
And the fact of the matter was, like Trump said, he had it from 2013 to 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo. He don't even have it. He hasn't had it since 2015.
Now, another thing I was looking for was when one guy was talking, they had the double screen, and I wanted to see the other guy's reaction. And I must say, I thought Trump held himself in check pretty good. You know, he's an emotional guy. He's an emotional guy, and he didn't do a eye rolling. I mean, I think they both did some of it. What do you think?
Not much, you know. I think Trump composed himself all right. Biden a couple times looked like that guy's puppet there. I can't think of his name.
Oh,
had the same expressions there as that. You know, Bill Durham, is that his name? Not Bill Durham, the comedian with the puppets.
Oh,
the ventriloquist.
He's
got that little puppet that looks just like Joe Biden.
I don't remember the ventriloquist. Was it a recent ventriloquist?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's okay. All over the place.
Okay.
I think his last name is Durham.
Okay, it could be.
Jeff Durham, I think it is. But the guy's hysterical. He's got the puppet. Looks just like Joe Biden. I mean, it's all over the computer.
Wow. Very interesting. Okay, so
but
now...
Yeah, Paul, mm-hmm. Paul, I think the thing is in that Trump's going to win. I don't think there's any question about it. Let the people get out to the polls. They saw enough. Vote for Trump. He's the best thing that's going to happen to this country.
We got only 11 days.
That's
and
it.
By the way, a week from today, you and I and Ed and Good Morning America, we're all going over to the Republican Club, the North Pinellas Republican Club, where we're going to really have some fun. On Election Day, I said a week from today, I'm wrong. On Election Day, November the 3rd, excuse me, Tuesday, November the 3rd, we'll all be over there. And we're gonna be interviewing some local... By the way, on the local candidates, any news? Are you looking at any particular race, like in Pinellas County, that really piques your interest?
My main one is Charlie Crist and Ms. Vasquez, the county commissioners, Mr. Hearns,
mm-hmm.
Definitely. I'd like to see this county commission turned around, and I'd like to see Charlie Crist take a walk.
Now, Charlie Crist is in Congress, 13th District, I think it is.
And I just mm-hmm. read this morning that Anna Paulina got in a lot of money, I guess, three times.
Oh, she did.
What happened with Charlie? So this might be pretty interesting. This girl just might pull it off.
Oh, she's got the Republican backing, and we had a great interview with her. She sounds like a real sharpshooter.
And yeah,
in fact, there's some pictures of her.
We need some new blood. Charlie Crist's blood is really old and it's really mixed up.
Uh-huh.
Too many blood types in there.
Well, he's been on all sides of an. He started out as a Republican.
I'm waiting for him to come out and say he's a communist.
Yes, he was an independent. He
was everything it takes.
Yeah, everything.
Whatever it takes to
He's
win.
Very, very, very interesting person. So, you're still predicting, a tsunami for Donald Trump. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Paul, I really am. I think people are fed up. I mean, I hear it all over the place, you know. It's like this. I see that you couldn't get any more Trump signs anywhere in the state. Okay, they're all out of them. And I saw the main Democrat guy, I believe his last name is Perry or something, parked on the side of 19 Friday with his Jeep saying, "Free Biden signs, all you want." And that's the
Highway
sign
19,
right there, isn't it?
Yeah, Highway 19, folks, for those that don't know, is a main artery north and south in Pinellas County. In fact, it's the biggest. But So he's parked on the side of the road trying to give away... Hunter Biden.
Biden signs.
I mean,
right.
Hunter Biden signs. Biden signs, yeah.
That's right. I mean, you can't get a Trump sign anywhere. Everybody's out. Everybody wanted him, but the Biden signs, all you want, free.
You know, I got an idea. Why don't they just have somebody create a bunch of Hunter Biden signs and stick them in the yards? Hunter Biden. Don't say vote for him.
Well, that's who they're talking about more than Joe. But, you know, the big guy there. They got to talk about
the big guy.
Guy.
Yeah, the big guy. That's right.
The big guy. We knew who he was talking about. You know, Paul, these emails are all legit, and something should be going down with this. If nothing goes down with what's going on here, this country's got problems.
Well, you know, the Republican-controlled Senate committees are going to pull this guy, Bob Alinsky, in front of them. And so we're going to have some of that going on leading up to the election.
Yeah, I do too. And you know what I was really waiting for last night? You know that Trump is the highest ranking law officer in the country, right?
He's commander in chief.
That's right. I was waiting for him to have all this evidence against Hunter and Joe and throw the handcuffs on him on stage last night. Wouldn't that have been beautiful?
Yes.
He could have done it.
Well, he could have summoned people from behind the curtain to come over and just
perp
walk Biden off the stage. That would have made for an interesting moment.
Wasn't that? I was waiting for something really to happen.
Yeah.
Trump really composed himself too much, you know what I mean?
Or he could have.
I was expecting a little more excitement.
How about just bringing Bob Alinsky on stage to stand next to Biden? How would that look?
Well, that was unbelievable. He put him right up there for an interview, but I understand he had him in the audience.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. He had him in the audience.
Yeah.
And he could have just invited him right at the opening of the debate. He said, by the way, come on up. Stand right next to Joe here.
I was expecting something to happen.
Yeah.
But,
stand right next to Joe.
He did a good job. And if people see it, and I think most people know what's going on, and if you're just blindfolded and to the left.
Yeah.
Even the mediocre Democrats, you know, the middle of the road, Paul. Like I said, the Democrats can send in all the votes that they want, but who's saying the middle of the road Democrats are voting for Biden? Because I don't think they are.
You may be right. You may be right. Well, Andrew, it is always a pleasure to talk with you, as I've always said. Every time we end the conversation, I'm always more energized. And we are going to be doing this very same talk again this Monday. So thank you so much, my friend. Have a good weekend.
Paul, you got it, and may Trump be with you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your blessing.
All right, buddy.
Okay, good. All right, there he goes. The master barber himself. We are going to take our final break when we come back. Mainland China threatening retaliation if the U.S. sells any major weapons to Taiwan. Really? We'll talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And if you cannot listen to us live, guess what? Thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us on podcast anytime you would like, because he puts all our programs on there. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. At the top, you'll see the podcast button. Just click on it, and away you go. All right. Well, you know, we got all the election news going on, and, you know, sometimes we kind of take our eye off another couple of things that are going on. China vowing to retaliate if the U.S. proceeds with any kind of advanced weaponry sales to Taiwan. When they talk about advanced weaponry, anything more worth more than apparently $1 billion. Now, the statement from China's defense ministry doesn't go into specifics, but it seems to mark a further decline in ties between Washington and Beijing. And, you know, with this virus, all of a sudden, we know Donald Trump, who used to say that he was on good terms with the head of China, all of a sudden, that's long gone, right? Now, this statement comes late from late last night from China and demands the cancellation of the sale and an end to all interactions between the U.S. and the Taiwan military in order to, what they call, avoid serious repercussions for relations between China and the U.S. and their armed forces and peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait. Well, you know, China's got right now having a bad hair day. They're the cause of the virus. They've been building these little man-made islands between the mainland China and Taiwan in the China Sea. We got a problem with, you know, with the way they're handling and stealing stealing our secrets when it comes to creating products. They've had that issue going on for a long time. So are we going to take this retaliation thing? I mean, Trump, it would seem to me, would say, look, don't threaten us. Don't threaten us. And China just seems to go about its merry way, does it not? I bet they're the least liked country in this world right now. And by the way, that's a good lead-in for our top 10, which is going to be the most hated state. But before we do that, I want to talk to Ed about the World Series. Ed, did you know the World Series ratings are not doing well? I got a story about it right here. Yeah, the World Series drew a record low audience of viewers for the second straight night. The win by Tampa Bay Wednesday night, seen by an average of only 8.9 million people on Fox. That's not a good rating. Two-game average, 9 million, just over 9 million viewers. So what's going on here? I thought with the Dodgers in it especially, it would be more viewed. Okay. As opposed to, say, Well, that may be a good point. But in baseball, have you seen that much activity with that, taking these? Mm-hmm. Well, that may be it. I would think, because people are stuck in their homes, there actually might have been a larger viewership because we've been kind of, you know, not getting our sports that much during it. Yeah, you're right, but you know what I mean. I mean, activities, you know, entertainment activities. If the Super Bowl were being played right now, do you think their numbers would be down? I guess that's not a fair question. They are down. So it's a general across the board thing. You know, the whole thing is dissipating. Don't you see? I mean, even in football, where there was a lot of it going on, I think it's dissipating. Don't you? Don't you see that teams are starting, that thing about kneeling and the flag, it's not on our minds anymore right now, which I think is a good thing. Anyway, okay, real quick, are we back? We got a, 1-1 between the Rays and the Dodgers. We have a game tonight, right? I'm going to put you back. Let me put you back on the spot. Do you think that the Rays will win or what? Oh. Oh, wow. That's interesting. Okay. 7. Okay. All right. All right, Ed. Fair enough. It is time for our top 10. We have a good one, by the way. These are the most hated states. Now, I want to give you some background on this thing. The analysis was carried out by a lifestyle website called Best Life. It looked at a number of factors to determine the most hated states, including U.S. Census Bureau statistics on population increases or decreases. The analysis also looked at the result of a Gallup poll About 6 years ago, Gallup poll asking each state's residents whether they believe theirs was the best place to live or at least one of the best. It also incorporated data from chart maker and Instagram user Matt Shirley, who recently asked apparently more than 300,000 of his Instagram followers to identify which state they were from, followed by which state they liked the least. Okay, there you go. So here we go. The top 10 most hated states. Number 10, Kansas. And the state that feels hate towards Kansas is Missouri, right next door. Okay? All right, number 9, Alabama. Alabama and three states don't like Alabama. Louisiana, Arkansas, and Mississippi. All of them surround Alabama. Number 8, Indiana. All the corn and all of the Hoosiers, and the state that dislikes them, Illinois, right next door. Number 7, Kentucky. Now, why would you hate Kentucky unless you don't like horses, right? Kentucky and Indiana and Tennessee don't like them. Number 6, Michigan. Michigan, that's interesting. That's a good guess. Actually, you're half right. Ohio. Only state that really said they hate them. Number 5. Hold on to your hat here. Florida. Florida is the 5th most hated state. And the two states that hate them real big time are Georgia and Alabama. Interesting, right? Okay. Number 4. Number 4 is Oklahoma. Okay. I used to live in Oklahoma as a little boy. And I guess because of all the tornadoes, I don't know. But the state that dislikes them on record is Texas. All right, number 3. California. When do you see the states that dislike California enough to be on this? Listen, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, and Colorado. I tell you, what's going on with California? Well, they're making life miserable for a lot of people right now. Number 2, Texas. Kind of surprised me. I always thought Texans were friendly people. Why would they be the second most hated state? What is it? They don't like cowboy boots, you know? And guess, and there are a bunch of states that don't like them, including, would you believe Alaska? You know why, though? Because Alaska and Texas are the two biggest states. Yeah, oil, too, maybe. But then Alaska, California, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. All right. All right, now you. I'm going to ask you, Ed, you've been busy. It wouldn't be fair to ask you, but do it anyway. Who do you think is the most hated state? Roll the drum. You are one state away. That's New Jersey is the most hated state. New York, Pennsylvania, and Connecticut really don't like them. But more people are leaving New Jersey per capita than any other state. So there you go, my friends. Thanks for listening. We will be back on Monday. Always remember, freedom works.